You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 354.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, hello, Mayor of Chickentown.
Hi, Kevin.
Guest co-host today. Hello.
Yeah, we've had a bit of a...
We've all been wiped out.
Yeah, we've had a...
We're gone.
...bit of a sixplosion. Winter in Chickentown is hard on all of us.
Oh, so Cornflake's out today, out sick, but we're all out sick. None of us should be in the studio right now.
I, in fact, stayed home from Gallifrey 1.
You're not even supposed to be here today.
Exactly.
You're supposed to be in California.
I'm supposed to be in Los Angeles right now, but it just didn't make sense to travel, and I decided to be a responsible adult and stay home.
All right, so you called out sick from Gallifrey 1. So
yes.
You're still here in Chickentown because you were sick then, and still are.
Yes.
I was sick. I'm almost okay. But then out of nowhere, Cornflake gets sick.
Yeah.
Today, when we were supposed to record the show.
Right. Now, Cornflake's voice is gone, so we are bringing you the two Flopcast hosts who can actually speak.
Just barely. So this will be a quick show. We're not doing segments. We're just going to desperately try to get through this week. So you're going to be at the Doctor Who Festival.
I was, yeah.
How many years in a row did you go to that thing?
Well, I've been on an unbroken 18-year streak, so this would have been my 19th year.
Yeah, so the streak has ended.
The streak has ended, but there's always next year.
That's quite a run, though.
Yeah.
You'll be back.
Yeah, I'll be back.
And then you were supposed to do things at this convention, because you weren't here last week or 2 weeks ago.
Right.
We did like a convention preview show,
yeah.
And we mentioned that you were on a couple of events, a couple of panels.
Yeah.
Do they know that you're not going to be there?
Yes.
Is someone looking for you on stage right now? Are people making special ribbons, like badge ribbons, like where's the mayor?
That's probably going to happen.
So you were supposed to do something. We weren't sure what to make of it because you weren't here to explain your events to us. There was something about your first doctor.
Yes.
Which Cornflake and I just started going into our own personal medical histories at that point.
I suppose we're continuing
to do here today on the show.
I enjoyed that a lot. So all people who are Doctor Who fans started watching the show, and whoever was playing the doctor at that time was... probably pretty influential to them.
Yeah, that's what we thought it meant.
Mm-hmm. We
got that one right. So we know that my first doctor was Dr. Farrelly.
Yes.
Father of the Farrelly brothers. Who was your first doctor?
Well, my first doctor was Peter Davison, but at the same time, I got several other doctors because you and I went to see Riff Tracks, The Five Doctors last year, which is the 20th anniversary special. So they rounded up a whole bunch of them. Technically, Tom Baker, the fourth doctor, wasn't in it. They used a clip from something else. And the first doctor, William Hartnell, had passed away. So they used
Robbie Rist
right.
Stepped up.
So I got introduced to basically five doctors at a time. Now, Tom Baker, the fourth doctor, was certainly the first one who became well-known in the United States.
Yeah,
although
scarf guy.
Right. Tom Baker is who I would say the majority of American fans who discovered the show in the classic series saw first.
But your doctor is after that.
My doctor is the one immediately after that.
And is this the celery guy?
That is the celery guy.
Okay. See, I'm learning. Did he have the robot dog?
No, the robot dog. But the robot dog did appear in The Five Doctors, but he was only with the fourth doctor.
I saw a robot dog last night.
You did?
Yeah.
Now you're going to have to tell me about that.
We'll get to that. And then you were doing another thing, too, and we couldn't figure out what that was.
Yeah, I did this last year. It's called The Death Match.
Yes.
This is organized by Paul Cornell every year.
Does Paul know that you're not going to be there?
Yes.
Did he freak out?
No.
He's got a short fuse. He's a hothead. I know that guy.
Paul is a lovely person. I relied on Sean to take care of all the programming information, so I didn't talk to Paul directly, but he's not going to panic when I don't show up. So this is indeed, as you suspected, it's a bracket-style thing. There's a bunch of people on stage, and we have a little bit of time to discuss the topic, and then we all close our eyes.
Right.
Paul ask us to raise our hand, you know, if we vote one way, and raise our hand if we vote the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience is encouraged to make noises of shock, anger, and surprise when we do that. But we never know who's making the final decision. And it's immensely fun.
And this, it's companions this year.
Right. This year, the topic was going to be same as last year, but all the companions who've been on Doctor Who.
Debate and argue and ultimately determine the greatest companion.
Exactly.
Yes.
So I was really looking forward to that. Joseph Scrimshaw, you mentioned, was going to be on this panel.
Yeah.
And I've done a panel with him at Convergence, which is super fun. Also masterminded by Paul Cornell. That was several years ago. And some other people who I'd been on the panel with last year were coming back, including Kyle Anderson, who writes for Nerdist, and Riley Silverman, who's a comedian. So it was going to be a fun thing to do.
Good group.
Yeah.
Well, we should go. This sounds really good.
Well, it is tonight. There's still time for me to get on a plane.
All right. Well, sorry you're missing the big Joe Who Festival.
Yeah.
Our gain here in the studio, because we need every semi-coherent remaining survivor here around Chickentown this week that we can find.
That's how devoted we are to you, our listener. We will not go a week without a Flopcast.
By tomorrow morning, this is going to be like the Omega Man. It's just going to be me out on the street, just empty.
Oh,
like
no.
Charlton Heston in the early 70s.
Yeah.
I think that's where we're headed.
It's a post-apocalyptic winter scene here in Chickentown.
I was out last night.
I know, because...
Doing weird things in Harvard Square.
You were expecting me to be out of town.
Well, yeah, I made plans for... I thought it's just going to be me, because you're in Los Angeles. I made plans, and then you didn't go to Los Angeles.
Nope.
But I still had to go out and run around doing goofy things on my own.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't have it any other way.
So, not quite on my own. I was meeting a dear friend of ours, but I got into Harvard Square earlier than I thought. And I happened to notice that at the Brattle Theater, which is like the last remaining kind of art house theater in Cambridge, I guess.
It really is.
And they do this every year. And I know that Cornflake has been to this in the past. I've never been to this. But every year, every February, they do a Bugs Bunny Film Festival.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
At the Brattle. I'd never been. And I thought, well, I'm here. It's happening. I got time to kill before my evening activity. So why not? So I go into the theater for a Bugs Bunny show.
That must have been really fun.
It was okay.
All right.
It was, we've all seen these things a billion times.
Yep.
These are the cartoons that were such an institution of all of our Saturday mornings, of course. I think they do multiple showings throughout the whole weekend. They just keep running it.
Mm-hmm.
But this was kind of early Friday afternoon, and there were maybe 10, 12 people there. It was pretty dead.
All these people got to Harvard Square early for whatever else they were doing.
Because you think these cartoons were meant to be shown in a theater, of course, originally, and shown to adults before regular movies back in the day, 30s, 40s, 50s. And you think, oh, we've seen them all a million times. But now imagine seeing them with a live audience and all the excitement and laughter of the group expand. No, there were just like 10 of us. And we were all deadly quiet, boring people just quietly sitting there. But it's very no frills. Like there's no like intro thing to it. They just slammed down a bunch of cartoons one after another, and then that was it. You know, Leonard Maltin didn't come walking out to lead us in a group discussion or anything. So they just showed 11 cartoons. They range from 1949 through 1962, I think. Mm-hmm. So they're really concentrating on that 50s era, which I think are the ones that most people know best, and that's the Chuck Jones stuff. I think they showed it was about half Chuck Jones and then some Friz Freleng and a couple of Robert McKimsons as well. So they didn't dip back to the old stuff. We didn't get Tex Avery's or Bob Clampett's, the goofy, crazy, older 30s, 40s stuff. This was the Chuck Jones era. So they started with Rabbit of Seville.
Mm-hmm.
Classic. Come on. Which I think I prefer to What's Opera, Doc? Maybe because I've just seen What's Opera, Doc so many times.
Yeah, I'd have to think about that myself, but I like both.
And I like when he slices up all the vegetables and just makes like a salad on top of Elmer Fudd's head.
Yes.
In the barber chair. Very good. Then they went to Bedeviled Rabbit, and that's one of the Tasmanian Devil episodes. You know, that's Bugs accidentally pops up in Tasmania. Tweet and Lovely was after that. That's Sylvester and Tweety. That's the one where they build a robot dog at one point.
Oh, that sounds vaguely
familiar. I think, to fight with the real dog that beats up Sylvester. Wild and Woolly Hair was after that. That's a Yosemite Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Simple enough. That's Bugs and Yosemite together in the Old West. Wet Hair was after that. That's a McKimson. That's Bugs Bunny is like taking a shower in a waterfall, and then the water keeps stopping because there's a big, crazy French-Canadian guy damming up the river.
Oh, like the French-Canadian version of Yosemite Sam?
Yes, pretty much. But I remember this one quite well. They used to show it on TV all the time. So it's just Bugs versus this crazy French-Canadian guy. Mm-hmm. Bugs keeps blowing up the dam to get the water running again, you know. Wet Hair. Fast and Furious after that. That's a Roadrunner.
Mm-hmm.
Simple enough. Steel Wool. Steel Wool is one of the Sam the Sheepdog, Ralph the Wolf.
Yes. Ralph the Wolf, who looks exactly like Wile E. Coyote.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Chuck Jones had a look
for
his wolf or coyote type animal.
Yeah.
Or even in the Raggedy Ann Christmas show. Totally different character who also looked exactly like
he's
the coyote.
He's the big bad wolf.
Yes.
He becomes the big good wolf at the end.
Yeah. I like those a lot, though. I like those Sam and Ralph cartoons.
Oh, sure.
And they're very formula, obviously, but I think I prefer those to the Roadrunners.
I would say I definitely do.
Yeah. Like maybe just because we didn't get so burned out on them. I don't know. They didn't make many of those, maybe four or five of them.
Yeah, those are sweet.
They punch the clock, you know, walk to work together, punch the clock.
I think that's why I like them, because, you know, at base, one of them's not trying to kill and eat the other. They just, it's just their job.
Yeah, yeah, because the Roadrunner and Coyote, they never clock out.
Right.
It's a never-ending, lifelong death struggle. After that was Forward March Hare. That's another Bugs. That's Bugs Bunny. He gets drafted into the army.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is special for us because we just love that scene where the sergeant yells at Bugs to go in the chicken house. And he says, I want these chickens cleaned and dressed for dinner. And then, of course, they cut to Bugs has dressed up all the chickens. They, like the Monopoly Man.
Yeah.
They just cut to the scene of a room full of chickens just strolling about wearing top hats and tuxedos.
Right. We'll put a screenshot in the show notes because that's a classic in our minds, certainly.
It's a great chicken moment, of which there are many in Warner cartoons.
Yeah. Well, there's Foghorn Leghorn's whole oeuvre.
Yeah. They didn't show any Foghorns at the theater last night. No mm-hmm. Foghorn Leghorn in this year's Bugs Bunny Festival, but so I'm glad we at least got that shot of the chickens in the army getting cleaned and dressed for dinner. Quack Shot was after that. That's another McKimson. That's Daffy Duck and Elmer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Elmer Fudd is out in a boat hunting for ducks.
Okay.
You know, and Daffy makes things difficult.
Yes.
Beanstalk Bunny. That's Bugs and Daffy. I go up the beanstalk.
Yeah.
And Elmer is the giant.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen that one more recently than some of these others.
Yep, that's a good one. That's a Chuck Jones. And they closed on One Froggy Evening.
You can't beat that one.
Yeah, so that was it. It was about an hour, 20 minutes, 11 mm-hmm. cartoons. Just random one after another, and then the 10 of us quietly went on our way. So not a crazy, outrageous, festive atmosphere at the Bugs Bunny Film Festival. But
a nice way to spend some time.
Absolutely. You know, we love those cartoons, of course. So it's good to finally, I don't know if I've ever actually seen any of that kind of thing on the big screen before.
Wow, that's great.
And that's how you're supposed to see them.
Yes.
Right? And then I just kind of went right down the street from there over to Oberon.
Oberon, that's a place that you frequent.
We've been to
so
that
do I.
theater many times. I've been there a bunch just in the past couple of months, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And we're usually there for the burlesque shows.
Yes, we are.
Sometimes for other things, but this was a time for another thing. I was there for something, and this has been on my radar for a couple of years, but I'd never gone. And then I thought, oh, with the mayor out of town, here's my big chance.
Right.
I'm free to go see the old school game show. And they've been doing this around Boston for mm-hmm. a couple of years or so now.
Yeah, I actually hadn't heard of it until you brought it up.
Yeah, it's this group that they put on sort of a retro style. It's sort of like a goofy 70s look to it game show. You know, the host, goofy looking host with the big mustache and silly costumes. And it's sort of it's a game show. And it's also music. And there's some sketch comedy and stuff in it. There's like wacky characters come popping up to do weird comedic bits and whatnot. There's a live band off to the side of the stage. So it's quite a production. And they have a lot of guest performers. So like our friend Ken Reed, comedian mm-hmm. Ken Reed, has performed as
part. Oh, sure. This sounds like right up his alley.
Yeah, he's performed with the old school game show. And they have a lot of different music guests and stuff as well. Last night, there was a woman that just came out to sing a couple of songs with the band as a mm-hmm. guest performer. So it's just kind of a big, crazy game show. And so obviously it is audience participation. They're drafting players out of the audience and they have a set up on the stage, sort of Family Feud style, because they've got kind of two tables and they can load up four or five players on each side and they bring people up to do weird trivia questions and stuff.
Did you volunteer?
No, you know, I heard in advance that it was optional. Like when you get there, you could sign up if you want to be eligible to be called up, like Price is Right. They just they call names out of the audience.
That's smart.
And yes, so you could opt in or not. And I was planning on not participating.
Yeah.
And in fact, I did not participate. But I didn't even see the thing. I must have walked right by wherever it is that you sign up anyway. But
well, next time you'll know what to look for if you feel like participating.
Yeah. And plus, I didn't want to sign up not knowing what it was.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'm just going to watch this time and maybe volunteer to possibly be drafted into service next time if we go back. So I kind of chickened out of the whole thing and just watched, as did my companion for the evening. I met Martha up there, our friend Martha.
She's gone to maybe more Oberon shows with you than I have.
She's one of our Oberon buddies that we like to go to these goofy shows with. So Martha and I went to the old school game show and ran into a couple of other friends as well. We did not know we were going to be there, and that's Andrea. Our friend Andrea from the world of Boston comedy, of course. Andrea and Chris were there, so that was cool. Yeah, it's a crazy fun show. I would indeed recommend the old school game show.
All right, I will go with you next time. That sounds like something I would enjoy.
All right, let's do that. That's if you're around Boston.
Right.
I guess this does not do much good to most of you.
But it's perfect listening for us.
If you're on the West Coast, like the mayor is supposed to be right now, go to San Francisco and you can see our friend Rebecca does Quizotron.
Yes.
Our friend Rebecca Watson, she hosts a monthly live game show.
And they do a live podcast, so we'll put the link to that.
Yeah, you can hear Rebecca's Quizotron game show as a podcast every month as well, and it's super funny. And she fills the stage with scientists and comedians and then just asks kind of science trivia questions or science news item type questions and scores based on people either being correct or amusing her.
I, in fact, got to see it live because she happened to be down in L.A. doing it while I was at Gallifrey one year.
Oh, sure.
And
we saw her develop this at Dragon Con.
Yep.
She created Quizotron, I believe, back when she was a regular at Dragon Con.
Yeah, and I saw it in close to its current format, I think.
So here in Boston, old school game show.
Yep.
San Francisco, or in the world of podcasting, Quizotron. There you go. We're taking care of all your game show needs, you weird people. All right, well, now you're up to speed on where in the world I was last night.
All right, you know, that's all. I don't have any more questions, so I guess we can cut this short.
Yeah, we definitely want to keep this short today. A couple of quick ESO Network updates, and that, of course, we are part of the ESO Network. And a reminder, ESO has a Patreon, so you can join the ESO Network Patreon and throw a buck or two to the network, help support our network, and keep this thing up and running. They would appreciate that, and there are bonus podcasts and things for Patreon members. I think we've done 4 bonus Flopcasts so far, and there are more on the way. We have the next one, I think, is already in the planning stages. And there's a new thing now for ESO Patreon. They just started something new, ESO Riffs.
Oh, yeah. I saw the announcement, but didn't look into the details.
This is a gang of ESO Network personnel. They're going to watch a movie or a show or something and riff on it and release the riffing commentary as a Patreon podcast. And they've already done the first one. First one is out. It was about Batman, 1989, Michael Keaton Batman movie.
Cool. That sounds like a fun thing.
Yeah.
People love to hear riffing from Mystery Science Theater and Riff Tracks and the like.
Sure. So Patreon people, check out the ESO Riffs. And there's also a new, we have a new regular podcast has just joined the network recently. So we wanted to say hello to our new ESO Network podcast, and that's Spooky Dudes. It's a horror show.
Okay.
These guys are talking about horror movies and whatnot. It's Corey, who hosts Vitamin Geek.
Uh-huh.
This is another show of his, has now been folded into the ESO Network. So welcome, Spooky Dudes. All right, so there, we've given you lots of other stuff you can go check out, because we're going to wrap this up right now. Can you do Cornflakes thing?
Yes.
Wrap it up.
We are on Facebook, facebook.com/flopcast. That's probably the easiest way to communicate with us. We have a Twitter account, @flopcast. We are on Instagram, @_flopcast, and we are at flopcast.net, where you find the show notes and links to all the other things I mentioned.
Yes. All right. Well, Mayor, thanks for filling in, even though you're still under the weather.
We're going to get to the bottom of this, the chickens and I.
Yes, we're going to get the chickens cleaned and dressed for dinner, and hopefully we'll all be somewhat healthy next week. See you there.
Bye.
Do you enjoy TV shows, movies, video games, comics, or novels? Do you enjoy listening to people discuss geeky topics without getting bent out of shape when they disagree? If you do, then the 42Cast is right for you. We're a podcast with a rotating cast of guests that discusses a new topic every week. You can find us on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Google Play, or 42Cast.com. You can also support us and the entire ESO Network by going to patreon.com/ESO Network. That's the 42 Cast, your ultimate answer to fandom, geekiness, and everything.
The longest running live comedy music event is almost here.
Welcome to the MarsCon Dementia Track!
MarsCon is happening March 1st through 3rd at the Hilton Minneapolis St. Paul Mall of America, featuring the world-famous Dementia Track with performances by Harry Dalby, Steve Goody, Insane Ian, The Library Bards, The Great Luke Ski, Stephanie Messenger of My Parents' Favorite Music, Power Salad, TV's Kyle and Lynn Zilla, and Jeff Whitmire. And this year's music guest of honor,
the undisputed king of rap dementia, Devo Spice!
Plus the 2019 Logan Whitehurst Memorial Awards for Excellence in Comedy Music, Dementia Smackdown Wrestling, The Funk Jukebox, and more.
Welcome to MarsCon! I'll explain later.
Be sure to pick up your copy of the 2019 MarsCon Dementia Track fundraiser album with over 4 hours of live music and comedy recorded at MarsCon 2018 for just $20. Visit MarsConDementia.com and click on shop. For more info on MarsCon, visit MarsCon.org, and we'll see you at MarsCon. God, I love MarsCon.
And it's the secret after show.
Yeah, I can't believe you're still doing this.
Yeah. Now, the big problem right now is that Cornflake usually has something to bring up for the secret after show.
Uh-oh.
And you may have noticed she's not here.
Cornflake is not here. Looking around at the chickens. They're all looking back at me with blank looks.
Yeah, so we got nothing. Have you seen the van?
No.
Did Harris talk about the van last week?
I heard it. I decided I do not need to see it.
I think that's the move. That's the right move. Stupid 1970s movie called The Van. Don't bother.
Anything else you've watched lately that you've liked?
I just started watching Ozark because Cornflake mentioned Ozark. She was talking about Jason Bateman and how he had a new show called Ozark. I'd never heard of it. And then other people were telling me it was really good. So I've seen 2.5 episodes. It is very good, but very, very dark.
Uh-huh.
This is not... It's not a sequel to the Hogan Family. It's very... They went a whole other way
for
a Jason Bateman vehicle this time. I might even say, I hate to use this kind of language, but it's dark as a yark.
Well, I actually watched something new on Netflix yesterday while you were out.
Yes.
And that was the first episode of Russian Doll, which is a series...
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I didn't know much about it either, but it's Natasha Lyonne, who was in Orange is the New Black.
Yep.
And it's the first... episode, at least, is kind of a Groundhog Day situation where she's at her birthday party and then kind of keeps reliving that party over and over again.
Weird. And you like it?
I did like it.
Okay. And she drives around in a creepy van.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.